Blog Talk Radio.
It was very late at night. I was sitting outside on a rock. As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home. And I was just thinking, what did I do? I was crying so my family wouldn't see me. And all of a sudden, I saw a light coming towards me. When I saw the light, I thought it was a car. Because in Romania and in Italy, they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină,
but it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit,
the light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești tu disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why did you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-a lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am unde pleca cap.
I don't have a bed to lay my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, am adus aici că țara asta va...
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Și m-ai adus să mă ard aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea.
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut? Nu.
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California.
Ce-ți arăt?
Do you see what I've shown you?
E Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească prin foc.
And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
In one day it will burn.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Florida.
And then he showed me Florida.
Aici e Florida.
This is Florida.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And in one day it will burn.
Da, cu mine ce ai să faci?
I've been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitri Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. The Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
Well, all right. As always, it is my pleasure to welcome you to the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am Michael Boldea, your humble host. And if you are new to the program, because I know we do have some new listeners, it's strange. How new listeners find us, because we don't advertise, we don't really put feelers out, we don't really have any sort of PR department in the ministry. It's just a handful of us that try to do our best and follow after the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit. But new listeners are finding this program, so I welcome all the new listeners, and if you have happened upon this place, if you have happened upon this program, well, you have happened upon a place where truth not only has a voice, but it has the final say. You have happened upon an oasis wherein truth is not just paid lip service. It's actively pursued. It is actively sought. It is actively desired. It's hungered after. And yes, it is discussed. We discuss truth on this program. So knowing that Jesus is the truth, we get Jesus heavy sometimes. So for those of you that found us by way of... prophecy or found us by way of end times discussions, know that you will sorely be disappointed if all you're here for is to hear about how to build a bunker and how to store food and water, because I don't teach those things. There are other people who do it. If the Lord told them to do it, then they should do what the Lord told them to do. But I, for one, preach Jesus and Him crucified, because when the rubber hits the road, as the saying goes, when we find ourselves between the hammer and the anvil, our physical preparation will be of no use to us. What we do in the flesh will be of no use to us. The only thing, and I highlight this so that we understand it, the only thing that will carry us through is intimacy and relationship with the God and Creator of all that is. Well, my presence behind the microphone, I guess, will already confirm that I did make it home safe and sound. Those of you that were with us during the last program, you know that I was on the road. The wedding went off without a hitch. He said, I do. She said, I do. They kissed, and that was that. But it was a lovely wedding, and I really enjoyed it. It's fun to see family after many years. I'm not really a social butterfly. Those of you that know me know that I'm not the most sociable individual. So I don't spend a lot of time with acquaintances or friends. I'm a solitary individual. I write, I pray, I read, and those are my main functions. And right below that, as much time as I can, I dedicate to spending with my daughter, whom I love dearly, and with my wife, whom I love equally. So that's that. But it was fun. It was great to see the family. It was great to reminisce. Because only God knows when we'll have another chance to do it. Times are getting strange. Things are happening in this world that should give us all a reason for pause. Especially if our lives are not right with God, especially if we're not pursuing righteousness and holiness. So the fact that I made it home indicates that, yes, you will likely once more be hearing trains going by, but that can't really be helped. Our office is right next to the railroad tracks, and since it's so close to the tracks, we can't boast about being on the right side of the tracks or feel shame for being on the wrong side of the tracks. So at least we have that. Although the trains are sometimes loud, they do serve as a distraction from time to time. And just to watch a train pass by a few feet away and wonder what exactly would happen if one of these things derailed one day really makes your heart go thump a thump. Yes, I know. This is the kind of stuff I wonder about. But you know what? It's a breath of fresh air compared to the reality that's taking place all around us. I'm sorry, thinking about a derailed train and how it would completely crush the side of the office building is a breath of fresh air compared to what's going on all around us. We are edging ever closer towards the cliff's edge. It's undeniable at this point. We are edging ever closer towards the cliff's edge. And oddly enough, it would seem that some people are more than happy to give us a hearty shove into the void. They're simply absent of any reason, and they believe that once chaos is unleashed, they will somehow rise from the ashes, to form a new nation in their image, or they simply don't care and just want to burn it all down. I've thought about this. I really have, because I strive to understand human nature. Because when we understand the reality of human nature, we can begin to understand what God does in the heart of a man. How amazing the transformative power of God is in someone's life. See, once you begin to understand human nature, you begin to understand the miracle of salvation and the miracle of transformation and the miracle of receiving metanoia, which is a renewed mind or a new mind. The miracle of receiving new desires and new aspirations, the miracle of being transformed from within. But if we only have a superficial understanding of human nature, we won't ever truly appreciate the beauty that is salvation and the miracle that it is. It's scary to me that people are absent of reason to the point that they'll burn down their own homes. As an old friend of mine was fond of saying, whenever riots broke out anywhere in the world, not just in America, and people just started lighting fires in their own neighborhoods, he'd go, if you burn down your own house, where are you going to live? There's not even that much forethought here. So you have to understand that what's happening right now is animalistic rage. There's no reason or logic behind it, and you can't cage that. You can't muzzle it. You can't control it. You can only steer it. Or you lay down the law and stop it. So we have the city of Charlotte, North Carolina, declaring a state of emergency. We have bombs going off in Manhattan. We have a confirmed terrorist and perhaps even a cell operating in New York. We have the economy that's teetering. The stock market bubble is about to burst, and a lot of people are going to get covered in mud. The Russians are making strategic moves that should make any thinking man wary. And here we are, staring at our navels, getting paid millions of dollars and kneeling in protest for some perceived slight because we think that we're bringing awareness to our cause. Look, if not for Jesus, we'd likely be going mad along with them. If not for the truth and comfort and peace and joy that the Word of God brings us, we would likely have that look about us as well, wherein people don't know whether to give us a wide berth or simply run away. So let's get into this just a little bit, because I know you all know what's going on. And there's no benefit to pretending that it's not happening. By the way, as an aside, if you haven't read my grandfather's prophecy regarding America in the last few years, maybe you should go back and give it a read. His name was Dmitry Dudeman. You can find his writings at handofhelp.com. Go give those prophecies a read, just to see what God showed him back in the early 80s. It's frightening to me that what he saw back then is beginning to manifest. It's coming to pass before our very eyes. Look, I know what the man said. I know what God showed him because I was his translator for 10 years. I lived with this. I breathed this. So I can wake up from a dead sleep and recite the message for America because I repeated it so often. And every single time, it would begin with an internal revolution, with civil unrest. And we see just how plausible and probable civil unrest is in America, something that was almost unfathomable 15, 20 years ago. And the caveat here was, he would say, started by the communists. And back then, everybody thought that communism was dead and everybody would laugh it off. But you know what? There's a resurgence of communism, and oddly enough, it's in America. I tell you this with all due sincerity. You're not going to see someone who escaped communism want to return to a communist system. Nobody that's an immigrant to this nation that lived through the horrors of totalitarian communism ever wants to see that again. The only people that are asking for it and dreaming about it and desiring it and working towards it are these 20-somethings that have not a clue what the world is about, that have never lived anywhere except their parents' beach house or their parents' guest home. that don't understand that there's no such thing as equality. Some people will always be more equal than others. And the people that are more equal than others usually end up being the brutal ones, the violent ones, those that can take by force. See, in a communist system, the meek do not inherit. The meek get enslaved. What can I say? I was 9 years old and I understood what was happening. It was complete control. And the way they controlled you is by rationing absolutely everything. Everything got what we would call federalized. Everything belonged to the system. And the system gave you what you needed or what the system said you needed. And so for bread, for flour, for fruit, for meat, for cheese, and everything in between, there was a ration card. And you would go and you would stand in line with the rest of the multitude. And if your ration card said you got a half a loaf of bread, you got a half a loaf of bread, even though you had house guests. And if they caught you slaughtering your own chicken, or if they caught you slaughtering your own cattle, or if they caught you making your own cheese, it was prison time because they wanted complete control. This is what is beginning to happen in this nation, and there are an astoundingly large number of people that are applauding this. Look, lawlessness seems to be having free reign in our nation of late. And although most of us don't want to hear it, it will only get worse from here on out. I do believe there will be civil unrest in America. And I believe that it's closer than many of us would like to think or contemplate. Does this mean that we head for the hills and hide in caves? Does this mean that we get on the first plane out of town and just keep flying until we're on a new continent? Does this mean we stop doing the work of God and start looking for our own self-interest? No, it means none of these things. The only thing that it means is that we should be ever more diligent in doing the work of God, in seeking the face of God, in making certain that our relationship with Him is true and that it is built upon holiness. And knowing that we trust Him fully to keep us, to protect us, and to carry us through the dark days ahead. Look, I'm still here. I'm still talking to you. Next week I'll be in Tennessee talking to another group of people. A month from now I'll be in Georgia. And we continue to do the work as long as we can do the work. Because it is what God commanded us to do. God didn't say work while it's day, but only until it becomes too distracting. He didn't say work while it's day, but only until it becomes too difficult or until it becomes too uncomfortable. He simply said to work while it is day. Because the night comes, and when the night comes, no man can work. The night is almost upon us. Whether we want to believe it or not, or acknowledge it or not, it's the truth. The night is almost upon us. It's an almost palpable thing. You can almost reach out and touch it. If you close your eyes and sniff at the air, you can almost smell it. It's everywhere. No matter where you look, it seems that peace has been taken from the earth and the hearts of men are growing exceedingly wicked. So today, unfortunately, We will have a Portraits of Peace segment because what happened in Manhattan this past week is far more disturbing than people want to believe. And we will also discuss what's going on in Charlotte because it's a symptom of a greater underlying disease. And soon, this disease will become epidemic if the adults in the room don't put their foot down and reestablish order. Look, let's be honest. Let's be frank. Most of the people burning things and robbing stores and looting Walmarts and throwing rocks off of overpasses don't have grievances. They just need an excuse to do violence, to rob, to destroy, and to wreak havoc. To them, the death of a man, even if the man is said to have been holding a gun that he was attempting to point at police, is enough to justify any action, no matter how lawless and reprobate. Look, you already know my position on this, so I'm not going to beat a dead horse. Cops have a right to come home alive. Cops have a right to be able to kiss their kids goodnight again. They have a right to hug their wives again. In short, they have a right to defend themselves. And when they go past the notion of defending themselves, and when they instigate violence, there are checks and balances. Look, I realize that some people would like to believe that there are souls so cruel out there as to shoot a man reading a book in a cold-blooded way while other people are watching. And then other people that are so depraved as to bear false witness on their behalf. Everyone seems to be missing at this point is that there were a lot of body cameras around. And camera footage doesn't lie. And if there had been no gun, if the man had just been reading a book, as folks were saying, I guarantee you that the officer would be in cuffs already. Are there bad cops? I'm sure there are. Do the good outnumber the bad? I have to believe that that's a big yes. So just scanning the headlines on some major news sites before we went live. I had a few minutes, so I thought, oh, why not? I read the following. White man dragged, beaten, begging for mercy. Rioters go shoe shopping for size. Rioters attempt to throw photographer into fire. Victim's brother calls all white people devils. Again, let me restate my point. I take no issue with the notion of peaceful protest. What Martin Luther King Jr. did in the South in the 60s was amazing and commendable and actually brought lasting change to a very real and ugly problem. Now, robbing shoe stores and calling an entire ethnicity the devil and attempting to throw people into fires, I guarantee you, will not bring lasting change. What it will do, and what it is already doing based on the headlines, because right now residents are lining up to buy firearms, will increase the animus. It will widen the divide, and with each passing day, the tension will grow incrementally until it finally boils over. Look, civil unrest is horrible enough when you have a small country, Romania, my country, underwent a revolution back in 89. But everyone there was Romanian. Everyone had the same stated purpose, to overthrow the current government. Now imagine 330 million people and each one in their own niche, and each one in their own fraction, and each one having another intent. Each one having another purpose for doing what they're doing. You haven't seen chaos yet. What will happen will be the very definition of chaos. 300 million people, not one of them knowing who to trust. Each one fighting to survive. In a land of the lawless. Look, like I said, robbing shoe stores and going five-finger discounting at Walmart isn't going to cause change. We're seeing these things taking place. We're seeing these things escalating more and more. And again, it's inevitable that all of this will boil over one day. And when it finally does, there will be a bloodletting, the likes of which has not been seen in our modern times. Because the notion of law and the notion of all citizens being equal under the law has been non-existent in this country for some time now. Look, I'm sorry, thuggery is thuggery no matter how you try to justify it. I don't care how much salt and pepper you put on a rotted piece of meat, it's still a rotted piece of meat. I know sometimes it doesn't seem it, but more often than not, justice is done, and the guilty are punished. It was just announced that an arrest warrant has been issued for the Tulsa police officer who shot an unarmed man, and she will be charged because after all the evidence was gone through, herein the word, the magic word, evidence, it was determined that indeed she acted unreasonably by escalating the situation, which ended in a man's death. So there you go. An arrest warrant has been issued, and she will be prosecuted. But it's people no longer having trust in the rule of law, because apparently some people are more equal than others nowadays, and if you have the right government job or if you belong to the right political party, you can get away with basically anything, including treason and selling state secrets. And all you'll get is a slap on the wrist and a free airfare back to your compound or, you know, to go and ask people to vote for you for president. Like I said, we have a lot of ground to cover, and we've gone through almost half an hour. So we have your questions to get to, which we do have questions this week. And Brother Douglas is back with a doozy, so there you go. Because I read through it, just because I wanted to make sure that I could answer it. And I can, so stay tuned for that. But those of you who didn't get a chance to download the new book, The Battle Ready Believer, for the Kindle device at the 99-cent special offer price, because there was a glitch with Amazon, and it only went down to 99 cents last Saturday rather than Friday, the offer is extended another 3 days until Sunday night. So you can still get it for 99 cents on the Kindle until Sunday night. There you go. Avail yourself of that if you haven't done it. And those of you that paid full price, thank you for the cup of coffee. Anyway, back to the news of the day. Maybe more like the news of the hour, I guess, because there's always something new that's happening. There's always something new that's pushing relevant news to the back of the line. It's making a giant pile of relevant news. And within the span of a couple days, it seems as though we forgot all about the fact that a man who was overheard asking people if they were Muslim in a mall in Minnesota ended up stabbing 9 people, because that was replaced by bombs going off in Manhattan, which in turn was replaced by chaos in Charlotte. And one can't help but wonder what horror will be tomorrow's headline. What will push today's news back? What will cause what's happening in Charlotte to lose its relevance? Because things are escalating. And whenever you see escalation, it's a reason for concern. Because after a certain point, escalation becomes exponential. And so it doubles and doubles again and doubles again until it's out of control. Until there's nothing more that you can do but just sit there and watch it all unfold. Now, I know that the pre-tribulationists are getting antsy, you know, looking for the exit, waiting for the bus. Imagine 6 months from now or a year from now. Imagine their state of mind when things have gone from bad to worse and they are still here. Now, I don't mean to be mean, and the reason I speak of this is not to pick on the pre-tribulationists, although the Bible tells you you're deceived if you believe you're not going to be here for it. But I'm talking about this because I want to point out what Jesus said and discuss what Jesus said regarding the last days just a little bit because it's relevant. We need to realize and acknowledge the fact that what Jesus said regarding the times that we're living in is beginning to come together and form into a cohesive, visible whole. You know, even the skeptics among us, even those that would wave you off and go, ah, that's not going to happen. Jesus was being hyperbolic. Even they are beginning to stand up and take notice because the pressure is building. And it will continue to build. You see, Jesus spoke of brother betraying brother. He spoke of a falling away. He spoke of chaos and deception. He spoke of pretty much everything that we're seeing take place. Not only in this nation, but throughout the world. We need to understand that if we are ignorant of the times that we're living in, we have no one to blame but ourselves. If we are ignorant about what's going to descend upon this earth shortly, it's not because God did not speak it. It's not because the word of God doesn't reveal it. Because we are practicing what is known as willful ignorance. We do not want to know, therefore we do not know. And that's very sad, and that's very troubling. Because if the children of God are ignorant of the times that they're living in, what rightful expectation can we have of anyone in the world to know more than what the world knows? We're supposed to be more astute than those of the world and discern the times that we're living in. Because when we discern the times that we're living in, when we become aware of what's going on around us, it will inevitably lead us to seek a closer walk with God. Anyway, I just want to get to your questions real quick before I ramble on for the next 30 minutes or so, because the world is the way the world is. And I don't think my talking about it for an hour is really going to change anything, fundamentally speaking. the world will continue to wax worse and worse. But what is troubling is that the children of God aren't there to be the counterbalance anymore. It used to be that the church was a counterbalance to the darkness of the world. It used to be that the church was the hedge. It used to be that the church resisted evil. But now the church seems to be walking in lockstep with it because they so desire the world's approval. You have mainline churches encouraging everything from abortion to homosexuality. Because they want to be considered the tip of the spear of the modern day Reformation. And I guarantee you this Reformation has absolutely no similarity with the Reformation that was in the 1600s. Men no longer desire righteousness, and that is the sad reality of the times that we're living in. We are getting worse along with the world. The worse the world gets, the worse the church gets. And by the time it's all said and done, we don't know who dragged who down anymore. We just know that we're back in the pit. We just know that we're wrestling in the mud. We just know that we're empty and powerless. We just know that our hope rests only in earthly things. And there's nothing and no one that we can turn to because we willfully abandoned the God of the universe. We willfully abandoned the God of the Bible. We spat in his eye. Then we turned our back on him. And every single time he tried to reach out, we slapped his hand away. Because we thought we knew better. He was demoted. He was antiquated. The things he asked of those who followed after him were not reasonable. How can we deny the flesh? When the flesh has so much to revel in nowadays, how can we turn our back on sin when sin is so pleasurable when we're committing it? How can we sacrifice for the sake of Christ when our expectation of him extends only to what he can give us? We're getting worse and worse. We're keeping pace with the world. And dear souls, lest we forget, judgment begins in the house of God first. Look, I made the mistake of going on Facebook today. Yeah, I know, huh? And I started reading through some posts. And apparently this madness is even affecting people you would have sworn were sane. People you would have never expected of hatred. Posting things like, we need to kill us a few crackers too just to make a point. What can you... How can you reply to that? I'm like, okay, unfriend, good night. There's no coming back from certain things. I think I'm probably just going to outright cancel my Facebook account. It's gotten creepy and depressing seeing what people really think when a little pressure is applied. And being the inquisitive sort of man that I am, the only thing that crosses my mind when I read foolishness like that is, if you react like this to something like this, how will you react when all the store shelves are bare and you've got no food in your home and you know that your neighbor still has steaks in the freezer? Maintain decorum when just a little pressure is applied. How exactly will you react when the whole world comes crashing down around you? It's been one of those days. It's been eye-opening. And it's made my heart sad. Because to judge any man, be they black or white, on the color of their skin, is not only ignorant and foolish, it's outright evil. But anyway, on to your questions, because I want to get at least one or two of them answered. We're running out of time again. I'm sorry. I apologize. But then again, it is my program. See, I'm learning that it's okay to say my. Last week, I went through the hardship of saying my book. Now it's my radio program. It's not conceited. It's just reality. Anyway, this question comes from Julie. And Julie says this: Mike, thanks so much for answering my weird questions. Okay, I have to say I was quite disappointed to learn that the Nephilim aren't still wandering about, as that was my brain's last-ditch effort at making any sort of sense regarding our presidential candidates. Zing! Well, the Nephilim were supposed to be giants. I don't think you can equate giant folk to mental midgetry, at least on the part of one of the parties. Okay, let's put it this way. All right, see, I'm going to get in trouble now. People are going to go, what's he saying? What's he saying? Okay, I'm saying this. Some people pretend to be dumber than they are, while some people pretend to be more intellectual than they are. The people that pretend to be dumber than they are will usually have the sparks of just genius that will leave you unsettled. While the people that pretend to be smarter than they are will sometimes say the stupidest things you've ever heard when they let their guard down. As far as whom I'm talking about, I'll let you decide. Alas, she says, I am left to come up with some other seemingly plausible theory. We're still on the Nephilim. And she writes, I guess there's always aliens. Indeed, there are. Now, I'm not saying there are aliens. I'm just agreeing that there's always aliens. We can hatch that egg. But most people have anyway. So Jesus. All right, we'll hash out the alien thing once we've understood who Jesus is. We'll hash out the alien thing once we have a relationship with Jesus and an intimacy with him. And I'll let you in on a little secret, just between you and I. Once you discover Jesus, you will have absolutely no desire to hash out the alien thing. You will lose interest in any sort of tertiary idiocy that's floating around Christendom pretending to be spirituality. So there's that. She continues, I love your broadcast. I appreciate it. Thank you. I just finished your latest book, so I'll write a review on Amazon sometime this week. Those of you that have read it, please do that as well. Give us a review. Tell us how you felt about it, whether it was good or not. Let us know. Be gentle. Anyway, she says, keep fighting the good fight, Julie. Now, our next question comes from Sue, and it says this. Hey, Mike, thanks so much for... Oh, wait, no, that was Julie again. All right. Let us go on. I'm trying to find the other question. I apologize. I thought I had it, and I didn't. Okay, here we go. Dear Michael, this one is from Sue. It got messed up for some reason. Dear Michael, we have four family members who are all staunch Democrats. Wow. All right, I'm sorry for that. They all donate money and support to abortion and the LGBT movement. How progressive of them. So far, they show no signs of interest or hunger for the things of God. The church isn't showing any signs or interest or hunger for the things of God. How can we expect the godless to show an interest in him when the church don't want anything to do with him? Let's be honest. For once, let's be honest. If the church showed an interest and a hunger for the things of God, maybe the world would take notice. But the church isn't. We're going through the motions. We've embraced the notion of casual Christianity to the point that it's destroyed us. But let me continue. I'm sorry for the rant. It's just, these things get under my skin. Well, you know, I know somebody and they don't want to hear about Jesus. Well, do they see the passion for Jesus in you? Well, no, we were at the bar and we were having a beer and, okay, then your testimony is flawed already. Pass. But I'm going to continue reading this because it's a decent question. It's important. It says, in past years, my husband has sent several Christian or conservative books and articles or magazines to them with no feedback that they have read them. That should be a telltale sign. Again, willful blindness is the worst kind of blindness. Willful ignorance is the worst kind of ignorance. Because when you're willfully ignorant, you actively seek not to be awakened from your ignorance. Does that make sense? It makes sense. Okay. My husband was speaking on the phone with one of these family members about Dinesh D'Souza's book called Hillary's America. The book very clearly gives the history of many abuses by Democrats and the current nominee, Hillary Clinton. If you don't know who Hillary Clinton is at this point, you don't want to know who Hillary Clinton is. All right? Two lawyers from Arkansas pulled a con job on the American people, and they became multi-millionaires, peddling favors from the U.S. government and spending taxpayer monies on those who did them favors and whom they did favors for as though it was water running free. All right, I'm sorry. It's just that if you don't want to know, then don't know. But anybody that has a desire to understand who this woman is and the wretchedness of her soul has plenty of information out there. During this phone conversation, he excitedly said he would send over a copy of the book, and she said sarcastically, "Don't bother." Of course not. We don't want to know. Let the pantsuit rain. We don't want to know. My husband now says he is determined to mail this book to all four family members, including the don't bother one. Honestly, I understand your husband's motivation. They won't read it because it's plutonium to them. It's kryptonite. And they know it. Willful ignorance. They know that by having their eyes open, they will have to reassess every decision they've made throughout their life. Who wants that kind of burden? So I have argued that they are unable to read Hillary's America. Well, there you go. With spiritual eyes, you don't need spiritual eyes. You just need to face reality. Okay, I'm just going to stop interrupting because I've got so much to say and we're running out of time, and I want to get to Brother Douglas's question. With spiritual eyes and wisdom, that he will be casting pearls before swine. He argues Romans 10:14. How will they hear without someone preaching? I like Dinesh D'Souza. I've read his books. He's not preaching. He is a conservative. He is a constitutionalist. I respect that, but we cannot confuse constitutionalism or republicanism with Christianity. Are Republicans or do they have a tendency to be more moralistic than Democrats? Most assuredly. Are most Christians Republican? Apparently not anymore. But we can't confuse the two. It's not preaching. It's trying to open their eyes to the reality that we're about to put a snake in the White House. It's commendable. Now, again, am I just being fearful that the secular book on an argumentative topic? Wow, we think the same, Sue. Anyway, am I just being fearful that the secular book on an argumentative topic will turn them off further to our message of Jesus Christ rather than persuade them to follow Christ? I believe we need to focus on first things first, or showing them Jesus as a fragrant aroma. I say it is the role of the Holy Spirit to change any behavior and attitudes after they find the truth of Jesus Christ, not our role. He said he does not want God to tell him he didn't witness truth to those around him, even if it's truth of a historical or political nature. Set aside anything about cost or wasting money. Would you send the books? I think that in large part, it would be an exercise in futility. But if it was my family and I held out any ounce of hope, I probably would. But I would send the books along with a copy of the Bible and with a post-it note on the Bible that says, read this first. There we go. I am Solomon tonight. Wisdom pours out. So, send a copy of the book, send a copy of a Bible, and post it in the Bible that says, read this first. I hope I've answered your question, Sue. And I was not being glib. I actually mean it with all of my heart. Now, our last question comes from Brother Douglas. We're going to try to answer it in the 5 minutes that we have. And he says this, Dear Michael Boldea, many men of God have been referring to the church as the bride of Christ. When we're told in Revelation 21:2 and Revelation 21:9 and 10, the bride is the holy city, the New Jerusalem. 1 Corinthians 12:12, Ephesians 5:23, Colossians 1:18 seem to indicate the church is the body. Please help me connect the dots. God bless, Brother Douglas. Welcome back, Brother Douglas. My question to that is, why can't they be both? You are a father and a husband, are you not, Brother Douglas? I am a son and also a father, am I not? I was a son first, then became a father in my own right. See, it's an issue of timing here. Let's read a bit from Revelation if we have the time. We do a little bit. Put it in a timeline context and go from there. Because while we are here, we are the body of Christ. When we ascend, we become the bride of Christ. And when the holy city, the New Jerusalem, comes down, who will inhabit it? The bride. We will inhabit the holy city. Christ will come down, rule for 1,000 years. Again, context. Timeline is very important here. Revelation 21:2. That's pretty much the end of the book. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelation 21:9 and 10 says this, Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Again, the question is this: who will inhabit the new Jerusalem? This happens at the end of the story. This happens after the bride or the body of Christ has ascended. This is at the end. And after this, there will be a 1,000-year reign before Christ presents the bride to the Father. Anyway, we who have been redeemed, we are the body of Christ while we are on earth. But we are the bride of Christ once we have been transformed. When he comes in a blink of an eye, we will be transformed and go up to meet him in the air. Revelation 21 is the end. It is when Christ descends with his bride to reign in the New Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And so we are both the body of Christ and the body of Christ, depending on the timeline. I hope I've answered your question, Brother Douglas. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. You have 3 more days to download the book for 99 cents on Kindle. After that, it will go up to $6.99. With that, Gino, it's all yours.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Light of Truth broadcast tonight. If you have questions for Michael Boldea, please email us at lightoftruth@handofhelp.com. Again, questions for Michael Boldea, go to lightoftruth@handofhelp.com. Also, I do want to remind everyone we're having our 30th Hand of Help Anniversary Conference in Young Harris, Georgia, at the end of October. Please check that out at handofhelp.com. Registration is available online. So with that, we want to say thank you so much for listening, and may God bless your evening. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth, with Michael Boldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.